We are joined right now by a legend of the National Football League, a legend of this here jungle, a legend in life. That's his main responsibility, being an icon. His side hustle involves him being the executive vice president and general manager of the Houston Texans. He previously spent 20 years with the New England Patriots, 18 of those years in player personnel. He's got 6 Super Bowl rings if you need him. Last year, the Texans won 10 games in the regular season. They won the AFC South. They beat the Browns in the wild card game. Then Baltimore got him in the divisional round. Of course, I'm talking about Nick Caserio. Nick, my brother, what's good?
Romy, always good to be with you. The clones, the XR4TI. Just trying to get a little jungle caramel here before the draft, but appreciate you having us.
My man, I'm not sure you need any of that caramel, but it's here. We'll get it for you. Hey, listen, I love whenever you and I can touch base, but especially right before the draft when I know you're grinding it out. So, Nick, first things first, bring me up to date. How have things been with you since our legendary sit-down for the pod the week of the Super Bowl, and do you have anything in particular for the clones or the crew before we talk about that draft?
Yeah, it's probably been all downhill since then. That was probably the peak of the off season, was our visit in Vegas. But in all seriousness, really enjoyed that opportunity to spend time with you. You know, enjoyed that discussion. You know, the off season has been good. You know, aside from football, just trying to make some notes. I have a couple thoughts on the smack off. We can maybe hit that at the end of the call. But you know, in all seriousness, the offseason has been good. We're making some progress. We're kind of finishing off some of the draft visits and some of the draft prep. But overall, hopefully we're moving in the right direction. So I think my second job is football, with the primary focus being on the clones and whatever contributions. I'm sorry I missed the beef segment yesterday. I was probably a day late on that. But you know, I'm glad we're here today.
Nick Caserio, it's great to have you here today. The beef segment actually was great yesterday. One of the all-timers. Hey, listen, Nick, I'm not sure how much you're willing to divulge in terms of the trade for Stephon Diggs, but let me take a shot. Did you know that he was available, or maybe did you identify him as a player that you knew could help you and make it your mission to get him? In other words, how did that deal go down?
Yeah, no, I think we've shown that we're pretty open-minded relative to how we function, and we've always just tried to not necessarily seek out opportunities, but just be cognizant of what opportunities may exist. During the off-season, you talk to different clubs, you talk to different folks, you talk with different people. You're never really sure what's going to come to fruition and what is not. You know, during the free agency period, that there are certain players who you know are available relative to their contract expiring. So you obviously can do a lot of work on those folks. As far as players that are under contract on other clubs, whether or not they're available in a trade or not, I would say for the most part, most teams aren't offering up players, so they're not shopping players. I mean, ourselves included, like, we don't certainly operate that way. But I think teams have shown the propensity or willingness to at least listen. And our job is to look at opportunities and look at situations. And if there's a player, the worst thing, you know, that can happen is if you ask about a player, you bring up a player, they tell you no, which is fine. Then you move on to the next, I would say, opportunity that might present itself. So I would say it's specific to that situation. It wasn't something that we necessarily had on the radar. And I would say it wasn't necessarily something I think Buffalo was necessarily shopping, but just through calls and dialogue, and at some point we felt there was an opportunity for us. So I have a lot of respect for the way Brandon and the Bills operate, and that we were able to come to an agreement when we did there the first week in April, whenever it was. So, you know, Steph's a good player. He's been a good player here for a number of years. Hopefully he can help our team in some capacity. But there's always a lot of moving parts when you're acquiring players via trade. I think if you look around the league, it just seems like there's a little bit more openness. You know, I mean, teams are more open-minded. And in the end, every team has to do what they feel is in their best interest. And it takes 2 to tango, and in the end, we were able to work out an agreement with Steph and get him on the team.
Nick Caserio joining us. Nick, one more thought about that. When you met with the local media yesterday in Houston, you pushed back hard on this notion of Diggs being a, quote, diva, based on reports of how he handled himself in certain situations in Minnesota and Buffalo. Why did that particular question and that term kind of trigger you the way it did?
Yeah, I think what happens is sometimes, whether it's where teams are in the off season and what that projects during the season, or if a player is labeled a certain way, quite frankly, it's probably not fair to assign any labels to any player. And the reality is, like, if you really don't know the individual or know that player, quite frankly, you just can't go off of conjecture. It's not fair to that individual. So everybody is entitled to their opinion, and we certainly respect that. I think how we've operated here in Houston is we do our research. We try to identify the right players for our building. And the reality is we judge them based on how they act and what they do when they're here in our building and then when they're around our team, and not necessarily worried about what somebody said about what happened somewhere else. So, again, I think just athletes in general, you just have to be fair about just taking information and then just making assumptions or making statements when, quite frankly, you probably really don't have a real grasp of the truth. So, again, however that was interpreted, however that came off, so maybe they caught me on a bad day. But overall, we're happy that Steph is here, and I think it's just important for we're not going to judge. You know, that's not our job. Our job is to run the football team and then just give them the opportunity to be themselves when they're here and support them and provide them the resources that they need to be successful.
Dude, I don't think you had a bad day at all. I thought that was an extremely responsible response to that question or that issue. I don't think that's a bad day in any sense. We're talking to Nick Caserio. Nick, what about you? Talk about you want to get a guy in a building and you want to make sure that when he's in that building, it feels right, the fit's right. What about Joe Mixon? I know what he can do for your offense. He's gained over 1,000 yards each of the last 2 years. What did it feel like to have him in the building, and what did you like about adding him to your offense?
Yeah, no, Joe's been great. He's actually been here for the start of the offseason program. We kicked off the other day, so we have a number of players that are here. But Joe's been a productive player, versatile. He's been very durable, kind of knock on wood. He's been available, which I think that's as important a quality as any player. So that was the situation, how that one kind of came to fruition. I've been asked about this a couple times, but not too dissimilar, just from a logistical standpoint. When we acquired Jason McCourty in New England in 2016 or whatever that was, he was set to be released. But before it kind of hit the waiver wire, we kind of jumped in and we were willing to give up compensation and trade for the player to acquire his services to secure him. I think sometimes when a player hits the market, there's going to be competition. So we, in that situation specific to Joe, we were just trying to stay ahead of it. We like the player, we did homework on the player, and we felt that it made sense. So we tried to take advantage of that opportunity to get him here and get him in a building and add a player that we think can help our football team. So lost Devin in free agency to the Giants, who had a great season for us last year. Motor did. So that was a position we were evaluating, whether it was in free agency or in the draft. So there was an opportunity to add a good player that we thought fit what we do systematically. So that's kind of how that one came together, I'd say, fairly quickly over the span of probably less than 24 hours from the time he was set to be released to the time that we acquired him. So this is where just being open-minded, being adaptable, being flexible, just having a candid discussion with the team. And if there's an agreement on both sides, then you know, trade comes to fruition. And so we're glad that Joe's here, add him to the group. You know, DP's coming back, and so another young player. So it's probably a position throughout the course of the spring here. You know, we could look to add. You need two or three backs here in the league that you're probably going to take to the game. So, but, you know, Joe's been a good player. Was good in Cincinnati, provided a lot of leadership, a lot of production. So we'll see if he can bring some of those qualities to our team as well.
Nick Caserio joining us. Nick, you mentioned the Pats. I want to ask you something really quickly. When you and I spoke on the pod in February, we talked at length about Bill Belichick. I've got to think the entire league is having a field day with the goss and the drama involving Bill and Bob Kraft. I'm not looking for clicks here, Nick, and you're too smart to give it to me anyway, but I'm just really curious about one thing. I'm curious about where you come out. If that ESPN report is accurate, and if Bob Kraft told Arthur Blank that Bill was, quote, very, very, very arrogant and didn't trust him, did he in fact do Bill dirty? Did he owe Bill more than that, given that he won that owner 6 rings? Or did the owner owe it to his peer to answer a question honestly and speak his truth, if that was his truth?
Yeah, no, Jim, I understand the question. Quite frankly, I actually haven't read the article that you've referred to. I would just say, you know, very appreciative of the time that I had in New England, the opportunities that were presented to me, my relationship with ownership and Bill. I mean, Bill's a big part of why I'm here today here in Houston, for what he taught me. So, again, my focus is on the Texans. So I respect the question, but, you know, I've been away from the building for 3-4 years now, so not really, you know, sure of the intimate details of what goes on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, I'm just thankful for my time that I was there and respectful of the relationship that I have with the parties that are there. And I'd say the ownership, I mean, you were talking about one of the better ownership groups in the league and sport. And, you know, been on record, I've said this multiple times, my feelings of Bill about I feel about him as a coach and what he's meant to the game of football and what he's meant to me personally. So, again, I don't want to really comment on something that I'm not familiar with. So the article that you referred to, I'm not familiar with it at this time.
Nick, I respect that you respect the question and that you can't answer the question. I respect that. Mutual respect. We respect all the way around. I get
We're having a respect-a-thon, Romy. So
we are having a respect-a-thon, like Nick. We could not respect each other more. I've never respected a guy so much for not answering a question as I do you right now. You're the best. The respect off. Never mind the smack off. We're having a respect off right now, my man, and you're winning. You're winning the respect off. All right, so
maybe we can have another program separate from the smack off and maybe get some entries into the respect-a-thon. So we'll have to come up with a list for that program.
Yeah,
so,
it
won't be as exciting as a smack off, that's for sure.
Well, no, and then you got to look pretty hard to get the clones to be a part of. Like, who would qualify for a respect off when we're talking about clones?
Well, that's a short list of clones. There might be some other athletes that, you know, maybe Casey, the mayor, maybe E. Wed, you know, I know, are jungle legends. So we could probably come up with a decent list outside of the clones.
There it is. He is a legend of the NFL, a legend of the jungle, a legend of life, and the draft is coming up. He's coming in to get a little of that jungle caramel. Nick, it's going to be really different this time around, obviously, without the first and third pick overall and waiting for number 42, but I know you got a plan. Listen, Nick, great to get caught up. Really appreciate it. You had an amazing offseason, and it's always good to have you on the show, brother. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Romy. Always appreciate the invitation and enjoy visiting. So enjoy the rest of the day, and we'll talk smack off at a later point.
You know it. You know it. I only could not get into it right now because we're up against a hard out, Nick, but you know my clock. You know my clock. We'll get it next time. Nick Caserio. I love that Nick is focused on the draft, the NFL draft, but also on the jungle smack off. My man's got bandwidth. Lots of bandwidth. He's very, very rangy.